Welcome to ABC Healing School. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are excited. God is good. Today's module is entitled Introduction to the Prayer of Faith. Okay, but before we get to the outline, let's talk a little bit about faith. We must truly understand what faith is and how it works in order to apply it to our lives for us to receive the healing that belongs to us. So through faith, we receive the healing, but how do we go about that? Well, Webster gives these definitions of faith. Unquestioning belief. Unquestioning belief in God. Complete trust, confidence, and reliance. Loyalty, allegiance to some person or thing. Now the Bible, the Word of God, which is our real foundation, says that faith is like a seed. Matthew 17:20 talks about faith as a mustard seed to move mountains. Luke 17:6 also speaks of faith like a mustard seed, but this time it says that it's strong enough to remove the deeply rooted mulberry or sycamine tree. Mark 4, of course, goes into detail about the sower sowing the Word of God. Now we know that when a seed is sown, when it's planted into the ground, it must first die, with the outer shell falling away. That's the beginning of the process. So this is what faith is for us. We must plant ourselves in unquestioning belief and complete trust in our God, dying to self and dying to the things of the past. In total faith, none of that should matter anyway. All the things of the past and the things around us should all fade. Jesus should be preeminent. His plan for us should be preeminent. And this is the beginning of faith. To quote Hebrews 12:2, we are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we keep ourselves focused on Him, He's the one we see. He's the one that leads and guides us. He's the one that carries us through. Now, once we're planted, we also need to look to the Word of God, of course. And in order to get our nurturing, our watering, and our feeding in order to grow, and that must come from the Word of God. Do you know that we are, and actually always have been, creatures of faith? Did you know that? Even before we were born again, we were creatures of faith. You say, how is that so? Well, see, the question is, in whom is your faith? How are we exercising that faith? Through all the years of our lives, we've trusted our parents, our teachers, our guidance counselors, the experts in all kinds of various fields. You know, they say, and it is, in churches we may have gone to in the past, the pastor says, and why does he say that? Because that's what he was taught. And he says it because that's what he was taught. And so it passes down. But sometimes when we look at the Word of God, we find out, oops, that isn't right. The Word of God says something different. For how many years did we all grow up saying, the lion and the lamb shall sleep and eat together, right? Did you all have that when you were growing up too? I know I did. And then one day I discovered It wasn't the lion and the lamb. Imagine that. It was the wolf and the lamb. And I got my Bible and I looked it up. And I looked through my concordance to find every reference I could find to the lion and the lamb. And you know what? There was not one. Not even one. But it did have the wolf and the lamb. So sometimes the things that we're taught, that we're told, that we took as quote-unquote gospel, that we thought was absolute, was wrong. Okay? Now, here's another thought. I look around and I see people sitting in chairs. How many of you had a thought before you sat down? Gee, I wonder if this chair is going to hold me. I wonder if maybe it's just going to go whoop. Did you have that thought? No, we just come in, we find a seat, we sit down. Okay, here's another one. How many of us have crossed bridges? We always go, oh, you know, it's quite a ways up, and you admire the height, and you think how wonderful, what a wonderful feat this was. Did you ever wonder about the engineers that designed and built these bridges? Did they really know what they were doing? Did they have it all right? Maybe they got a D in their classes and just graduated by the skin of their teeth. Yeah, and you know what? Your life is depending on it when you're crossing one of those bridges. Wow. So, okay. Oh, here's another one. How many doctors or lawyers or what other professions that you can think of where somebody had somebody else take the test for them so they could get licensed and practice their profession? You know, it does happen. There are people who have licenses who never took the test because they had somebody else do it for them. So does that mean they know what they're doing? Does that mean they qualify? Well, I'm trying to raise a few questions here of where we have put our faith in the past. Creatures of faith, we always trust somebody and somewhere and something somehow. But now faith in God, faith in our God, faith in the God of Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the one who knows all things, the one who knows the end from the beginning, the one who created us and loves us and has a wonderful plan for our lives. That God. Now that's a different story. Amen. That's wonderful. He is wonderful. He is worthy of our faith. Oh, and by the way, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible, not difficult, not just challenging, but impossible to please our God without faith. So we have to have that unwavering, unquestioning faith in Him. So let's turn to our outline now and see if we can learn how to receive the healing that belongs to us by understanding the mechanics of the prayer of faith. The foundation scripture for the prayer of faith is, any repeaters? Mark 11:24. Okay, for those of you who are new students, you want to memorize the reference, you want to memorize the scripture. This is foundational to your life of faith, and this is a very powerful scripture. So the foundation scripture for the prayer of faith is Mark 11:24, which states, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, when Pastor Joshua, for many, many years, teaching on what used to be his very favorite verse, Mark 11:24, when he would teach this, he'd say, well, what is the them? You know, let's see. You desire when you pray, you believe, you receive them, and you shall have them. And you know, he got all kinds of different answers. If we were to go around the class and say, well, what do you think the them refers to? You know, we get answers like, well, it's what you desire. Well, it's what you're believing for. It's what you're hoping for. It's what you're praying for. And that's all part of it. But the crux of it is something different. The scripture says that you shall have them when them meets three conditions. And the three conditions together describe the them. Okay? Number one, you must desire them. Now, this isn't a wishy-washy desire. This is a fervent desire. This is something you really, really want to have in God. You really just want to just go after it like a bulldog after a bone, as the expression goes, because they're very tenacious. When that bulldog grabs hold of that bone, man, you can't take that bone away from them. He'll give you a tug of war worth fighting for. That's the kind of fervor that you want in your desire. Number two, you must pray for it. So you ask for it by praying. You could say, well, hey, God knows all things, so he already knows what I desire. Why do I have to ask? Why do I have to pray? Because he tells us to in his word. Because this scripture is in red, if you have a red letter edition Bible. So what does that tell us? Jesus himself said this. This is instruction from him. Because the Christian life is not automatic. You know, Jesus paid the price, a heavy price, for many things, for us to have the most awesome, amazing Ephesians 3:20 lives we could ever desire. But it's not automatic. This is something we've got to get hold of. It belongs to us. Jesus paid the price, and it's done in the spiritual realm. But we have to pull it from the spiritual realm into this natural, physical realm. We have to make it ours. We have to receive it. Jesus did the hard part. We get the easy part. All we have to do is receive it. And we need to remember that we have an enemy who's trying to keep us from getting it. So that's why we have to fight back. It's called spiritual warfare. It's called doing things God's way, because the devil can't handle God's way. He doesn't like it. He can't deal with it. And he's trying to keep us from doing things God's way. He wants us to go every other way except God's way. So that's why we need to focus on Jesus and the Word of God to get hold of our faith. Okay, so we must desire them, and we must pray or ask God for them. Now, here's a major key. Number three, you must believe that you receive them when? At the time when you pray. It isn't about what God's going to do. We have this habit, I guess you would say, of putting things off into the future. Oh, this is what God is going to do. An example of that is someone I knew who had been challenged with back pain for 25 years, and it was getting more and more severe with the passage of time. And he kept saying, I know Jesus paid the price, and I know God's going to heal me. I mean, he had that confidence. He knew it belonged to him. He knew God was going to do it. But the years passed, and it hadn't happened yet. And then the doctor told him the evil report. You must have surgery, and you must have it now. Without surgery, I'll tell you, it's a really bad deal. I can't guarantee the results with surgery, but chances are it's going to be better. And he's like, I don't want to do surgery. I want to do things God's way. I want to receive the healing that belongs to me. Why hasn't it happened? I have to make a decision. I have to make it now. After 25 years, I have to make this decision right now. What am I going to do? He didn't know. So he called his pastor. That's a good thing to do. When you're in a situation, when you have a challenge, and you don't know what to do, and you're not getting a clear voice on this, call your pastor or the assistant pastors. Call somebody in authority in the church that can help you. So he explained the situation to the pastor. The pastor prayed about it, and he goes, I know what the problem is. He says, you do wonderful. What? He says, you keep putting it off in the future. You keep saying God's going to do it. But Hebrews 11:1 says faith is now. We have to receive this right now. Because every time he said God's going to do it, it was like, here I am now and God's going to do it. And then I move forward and now the future becomes now, but God's going to do it. And he just kept pushing God off farther and farther. And God's hands were tied with the words of his mouth, with the way he worded it. God could do nothing. But you know what? He was right. The healing did belong to him because Jesus paid the price 2,000 years ago. It's already paid. It already belongs to him. So we just have to receive it. So it's not about what God is going to do. It's about what Jesus has already done. And we have to receive it through faith. So you must believe that you received them, that's what you pray for, at the time when you pray. This is the key. After the prayer of faith and the amen, you believe that you receive it. Between, we like to say, between the amen and the there it is, the manifestation of your prayer, that we stand in faith, believing that we have already received, and we want to do our very best to live as if we have already received it, which is by our words and our actions. Now let's read this here as a little more explanation on your outline. Remember that if you believe that you received them present tense, that is, you receive now at the time of the prayer, then you shall have them, the manifestation, in the future. But we're not talking about the future. We're talking about now. And the timing is up to God. Even if you think you have a timely situation where there is a time limit, and we around here don't like to use the word deadline because it's got death in it. So we're all about life, so we call them timelines. Okay, so if you have a timeline in your life, don't be concerned about it. God knows it's there. You can talk to him about it, but don't panic and don't try to box him in to get something done by that particular point in time, because you don't know what he has in mind as to how he's going to work that out for you. Another example of that was a lady who had started a new business, and she had opened her office and obviously leased it and had a regular monthly payment due. And so it came time for the first payment. And so she's wanting to give this to the rental company. And they're saying, no, that's okay. You can hold off on that. We'll collect it later. And she's like, oh, well, okay. I can use the money now. That's fine. So the next month it was the same thing, and the next month it was the same thing, and she's like, this is really strange. Do you know, 18 months later, a year and a half later, the rental company came to her and said, okay, we're ready to receive your rent now. So at that point, she owed 18 months. But look how much time she had to build her business. She was well in the profit margin. She had taken that 18 months of rent and set it aside so that when they said they were ready for it, she was ready to give it. And after that, it became a regular monthly thing. Now, who would have ever imagined how in the world that could have happened? Knowing that, can you picture what happened that the rental company put her off for 18 months? Would you believe they lost her contract? It fell off the top of the file cabinet, down behind it, between the file cabinet and the wall. And it wasn't until that company moved offices 18 months later before they found the contract. God can work in so many amazing ways. So don't put him in a box. Don't try to be concerned about the time frame. Let's do our part and trust him to do his part. Okay, so let's start that paragraph again. Remember that if you believe that you receive them, present tense, that is, received now at the time of the prayer, then you shall have them in the future. This means that if you believe that you receive them spiritually when you pray, then at some future time they will manifest in the natural where you can see them. Okay, where you can see them, you can touch them. In other words, if you accept your faith as the title deed, which is what Amplified Translation, Amplified Classic, talks about for Hebrews 11:1, what faith is, it's the title deed to the manifestation of your answer prayer, then you will see that answer in the future. In fact, if you do believe that you did receive them when you prayed, then you should create a faith action plan. Faith action plan. Okay. Laissez-faire. Does anyone know what I just said? Does anyone speak French? Okay, I saw a couple hands go up. Laissez-faire. Well, in case you don't speak French, let's try this one. Que sera, sera. We might have a couple more people. That's been a commonly used phrase. Or how about, let's bring it down to English, whatever happens, happens. It is what it is. Laissez-faire is the French and que sera, sera, the Spanish for basically the same thing. But you know what? That's not what faith is all about. It's not a whatever will be, will be. You know, it doesn't happen by itself. Faith takes work. Faith takes action. Action means there's a need for you to do something, right? And plan, faith action plan, a plan means that you need to have some idea of what you're going to do before you do it. A plan is something you have laid out. Okay. So, next paragraph, a faith action plan consists of one or more steps. So we had three conditions, and now we're going to have seven steps. Actions or words or deeds. It can be actions or words or both. Okay? That consists of a faith action plan, which reflects your change in behavior as a result of believing that you have already received the answer to your prayer. In other words, as best you can, start living right now as if you already have and see the manifestation of your prayer. Just one quick example, Jerry Savelle asked the Lord for a plane for the ministry. It would ease his ministry greatly if he didn't have to take commercial airliners. He could set a schedule, he could be more efficient, he could focus more on preparation and rest and so forth during the flight if he had his own plane. So he asked the Lord for a plane. And what did he do after he asked for the plane? He went out and he bought himself, not a plane, a chamois. Everybody know what a chamois is? It's actually a piece of dried leather in which you clean like windshields. And he was thinking in terms of cleaning the windshield of the plane. So that was his first faith action plan. I got me a chamois for my plane. And after some time, he rented a hangar. He really had fun when the guy was asking him, okay, and what size plane and what kind of plane do you have? Because he didn't have it yet. So he had to be real specific about the words that he gave as answers to this man when he rented the hangar space. But then after he had the hangar space, he had the place for the plane. Now God could bring the plane. So you see an idea of how that faith action plan works. We do something that we can do. We have to watch the words of our mouth. The words of our mouth must agree with our prayer. We don't want to pray for God to fill our checking accounts and then say, oh, don't know how we're going to pay the bills this month. Don't have any money. You know, that's kind of contradictory to the Word of God, contradictory to your prayer, contradictory to what you want, to what you desire. So one of the first things we have to do is watch the words of our mouths, put them in alignment with our prayer. And then our actions, likewise, need to be in alignment. Okay, now, here is a caveat. If at this point in the healing school, we want you to be advised, please do not throw away your medicines or your glasses. You know, these might be faith action plans you'd like to take, but we want to warn you, this is not the way to go about it. As we go through healing school, as you learn more, what you're going to find, bottom line, is as you're doing things God's way and God is healing you, you're going to get some funny reactions to your medication, and the doctor's going to say, oh, you know what? You don't need as much of this as you used to need. And after a while, it's going to be, well, you don't need this at all anymore. We have had people that we've ministered to the truths of this healing school that were on medications that the doctor said they would be on for life. I know one woman in particular who was on two of those that the doctors came to her and said, you don't need them anymore. She had received so much healing from the Lord for her body that it counteracted the medication, and the medication was actually doing harm. And so the doctor recognized that and was able to cut it out. And for those who are under doctor's orders, for those of you who are taking medications that have been prescribed by doctors, do it the way of authority. Let the doctor tell you you don't need it anymore. Don't be rebellious and say, well, I'm just not going to take that anymore. I don't need that anymore. I'm going to do it God's way. I remember one conference I went to where a man who was ushering with me, got hold of it for his eyes. He wore glasses, and he said, oh, he went up for prayer for healing. He goes, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My eyes have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. He was so excited. He drove home that night not wearing his glasses. And he got in an accident because he couldn't see right. He had not received the manifestation yet. That was not the right faith action plan for him. He was being disobedient to the law because his driver's license required that he wear glasses. The thing was that he needed to get his eyes healed and then go in and say, DMV, I want to take another vision test. I don't need these glasses anymore. And then proceed with that being removed from his license. Okay, so we're getting an idea of faith action plans. Okay, so as you study the scripture, Mark 11:24, in detail, you will see that the conditions for successfully praying in faith are contained in the following steps. And as with everything in our spiritual lives, we want to be sure to confess our sins, any known sins, before we get into prayer. Before we do anything spiritually, we want to confess our sins. We want to do it frequently. Even if you don't have any known sin to confess, because hopefully we're all at a point where God says, to jump on it right away. So when you know you've sinned, that we immediately run to Jesus and confess it. But maybe, an hour later, we're getting ready to pray and we want to confess sins, but we're not aware of any sins. So we can just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sins since the last time I asked. Please forgive me of all the ones I don't know about. Okay, so we always want to do that first. I kind of laughingly call it stain removal before the wash. For those of us that do laundry, we understand that, right? Okay, step number one, pray to your Father in heaven. John 16:23. Pray in the name of Jesus. Now here's the authority, here's the power, this is the key. If you pray these things, but you're not praying in the name of Jesus, you don't have the authority. Jesus earned that authority for us. So rather than us going and doing it, all we have to do is do it and say, Jesus, I'm bringing him with me, his name, Jesus, because of him, I can do this. Okay? Right. So in the name of Jesus, John 14, verses 13 and 14. Number three, pray aloud. Now that doesn't mean we have to shout it from the mountaintops. We can just whisper it. But we have to do it so that heaven, hell, and earth all hear us. And even in a whisper, believe me, they do. And so it must be out loud. It isn't enough to think it in your mind because that has no power. Let me tell you, the angels are not mind readers and neither are the demons. They act based on what we say and what we do. They know how to read body language. So pray out loud. Now you can do it at any decibel you want to. If you get excited and you want to go up to the mountaintop and scream it out, the word of God, have at it. Amen. Mountaintops are good for shouting out the word of God. But so are valleys, because we can let those valleys know they're not low and forlorn. They can be full of the glory of God. Okay, here's another. That was Mark 11:23. Now Mark 11:24 says, ask once. One time. This is the prayer of faith. Now there are different types of prayers, and some of the prayers require that you do it more than one time. But the prayer of faith is always one time that you're asking. Anything else that you do after that is what we call spiritual warfare. That's again between the amen at the end of the prayer of faith and the there it is, which is the manifestation of your prayer. So in this space between here, we're doing spiritual warfare. We'll learn more in ensuing modules about how to do the spiritual warfare. But know that there's an enemy that's trying to keep us from it, and that's the only reason we have to do the spiritual warfare. It's not God keeping it from us. It's the enemy stepping in to try to overwhelm us. That's why we keep ourselves focused on Jesus, focused on his word, that we know what he says. We're hearing his voice and we're going his way. Makes it really hard for the devil to pull us off course. Okay, Matthew 21:22. Believe that you receive when you ask. Use actions and words which reflect that you believe you received when you prayed. By the way, these first five points here, all of these you will find in red in your Bible. That means Jesus said every one of these. He gave us the instructions because the disciples were like, oh Lord, what do you mean you're leaving? What's going on? And he said, no, it's better for you that I go away. And they couldn't imagine what that was like. But for us, we understand because Jesus is now on the inside of us and of all of us, of you, and me. He was one person with the disciples around him at that point in time. Because he went to the Father, he's now with every one of us and everybody all around the world. So it is better for us, and he taught us this is how we go about it, because he won't be there physically, at least not normally, leading and guiding us the way he did with the 12 disciples. Okay, now number six. Okay, here's the beginning of the spiritual warfare. Keep thanking God with affirmations until there is a manifestation. So let's say that there's a physical challenge. There's a pain in your body. Let's say there's a pain in your left leg. So you can say, by the stripes of Jesus, my left leg has been healed. By the stripes of Jesus, my left leg has been healed. And you just keep on thanking God. Thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, my left leg has been healed. You just thank the Lord and you rejoice and you just keep thanking him, because that's a form of praise. And God inhabits the praises of his people, it says in Psalms, right? And the devil hates when we praise God. He would rather that we moan and groan. Oh, my left leg hurts. Oh, I can hardly walk. That's what the devil wants from us, right? He doesn't want any of this. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My left leg has been healed. Woo! Oh, no. He doesn't like that at all. So the more we do it, the better it is for us, right? Hallelujah. And I'd like to read some of these scriptures referenced here. Hebrews 10:23, Amplified Classic. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. This is why we can have unquestioning faith in him. He backs his word up. Mark 5:28, again in the Amplified Classic. For, this is the woman with the issue of blood, and it said, for she kept saying. In King James it says, for she said, but the Amplified emphasizes that she kept saying over and over again, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And she went out in public with an issue of blood, seeking out the one that she knew would be her healer. And she pressed in, and she pressed through the crowd, and she pressed down and touched the hem of his garment, and instantly was restored, because she had been saying, she had been expecting to receive from him. Nobody else had been able to do anything for her. For 12 years, she'd spent all she had going to doctors and looking for natural physical solutions, and they weren't there for her. But Jesus had the answer, and she heard he was healing, and she was pressing in to find him and get that done in her life. She was ready to receive. Titus 3:8 in New King James. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly. We call them affirmations. We are affirming the scripture. We are affirming what God has said about us. So we are putting ourselves in agreement with the word of God and what God says about us. So we want to say about us what God says about us. Amen. Right? Because we know that's the best thing we can possibly say. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, now, number seven, after the manifestation, tell someone what God has done for you. A testimony. You do understand that the first four letters of the word testimony are T-E-S-T, test, mm-hmm. right? So the enemy wants to put us through a test. This is our lab test that we talk about in healing school. Now, we have homework and we have quizzes and tests, but you know what? The real test comes from the devil in our everyday lives, and he's going to put us to the test and find out, do you really believe that? Are you sure you really believe that? Let me see. Let me put it to the test. So Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him, that's our enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, that was Jesus' part, and by the word of their testimony. Okay? Again, they were saying what God said about them, and they were overcomers because they testified the word of God over their lives. The next part of the scripture, they did not love their lives to the death. I think for us, this is important to understand. It's death of self. It's death of the old man. It's death of the carnal, natural ways all around us. And through that, then we can give life to the Word of God living in us. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Praise God. Okay, so let's review. With the prayer of faith, we have three conditions. You must desire them, you must pray for them, and you must believe that you receive them at the time when you pray. So that's the key. Most people think it's just you desire, you ask, you pray, whatever. But you have to believe. You have to trust that you're doing things God's way and that he hears you and that he's following after you. Again, this is another good reason to confess your sins frequently, because sin and unforgiveness will block your prayers. So we want to be loving, forgiving people. We want to confess sins frequently. So we keep that hedge of protection of the blood of Jesus over us at all times. The enemy can't get through to us when we do that. Okay, and again, now we go into a faith action plan. Through the prayer, we have three conditions, seven steps. Three conditions, seven steps to the prayer of faith. We pray to our Father in heaven. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray aloud. We ask once. We believe that we receive when we ask. We keep thanking God with affirmations until there's a manifestation. And after the manifestation, we tell someone what God has done for us. Now, we had a minister of the gospel who came to us and said, we know another minister, she's been very active for the Lord, and she's been challenged. The doctor's report is very, very evil. The doctor tells her she has a brain tumor, and they are projecting that she will die within a month. And they said, can you do anything? Well, you know, when someone's at that critical of a situation, you don't have time to teach them. So we told her, if you want to be healed, we can guide you, but you must do what we say. You know, don't question it. Trust, this is coming from the Word of God, and as a minister of the gospel, you're going to recognize these things as being from God. So we told her two things. Number one, take communion on your own, personally, every day, at least once a day. I think we just had her do it once a day. And 1,000 times a day, affirm, my brain has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's all she had to do. 1,000 times a day, the affirmations, my brain has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, communion once a day. Within, I think it was about 4 days, oh, I forgot to mention, she was in severe pain and she had already lost her sight. Within 4 days, the pain was gone. Within a week, her sight was back. Within that same 4 weeks that the doctors thought she was going to die, she was totally healed. When she went back to the doctor, he confirmed there was not a trace of cancer in her brain or nor in her body. That's the power of the Word of God. She trusted and she obeyed and she got the results. Isn't that awesome? And then I love this story. When my husband was first saved, he met with some old friends and he's all excited. I mean, he's saved, and the Bible says, you know, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so he's like, aha, I have these weapons for mass healing. So this one friend said she had been in pain for 5 years. And he said, really? Well, he says, I don't know a lot about it, but the Word of God tells me if I lay my hands on you and command you to be healed, that we should expect that. Do you want me to pray for you? And she said, well, yes, of course. So he did. He laid hands on her and just said, be healed, be pain-free in Jesus' name. Took his hands off and he goes, okay, so what's what? And she goes, well, she says, the pain's still there, but there was this really warm feeling that came over me. And that time, my husband, being a brand new baby Christian, said, I don't know, maybe that's how it's supposed to work. So anyway, she went away, and she came running back to him about a half hour later, and she goes, the pain is gone! The pain is totally gone! She was so excited. After 5 years of constant pain, you can imagine how wonderful that felt. So, simple obedience, again, to the Word of God. We do our part. Our part is so easy. And Jesus does the hard part. You know, it's not up to us to heal. We can't heal a fly. But we are God's hands extended. Right? We are the instruments that he uses here on earth to spread his kingdom and his healing and his glory. Whoa, so that's pretty awesome. Now, I want to mention that for myself, I've not been to a doctor since 1983 and no hospital since 1980. Well, that's all praise and glory to Jesus. You know, I never planned to say, okay, I'm going to go without doctors and hospitals and medications. I didn't decide to do this and make it out. It was a step-by-step walking through. And I've come to the conclusion now where the thought of taking medications, oh my gosh, you see all these ads and, oh, it's horrible, ads with all these caveats. Oh, no, this is wonderful if you have such and such and you wanna take this because we made it and we're selling it and we wanna make a profit on it. We wanna recommend it to you. But we have to let you know that it might cause this and that and the other and the other and the other and sometimes even death. And you're thinking, why in the world would I want to take that? Oh my word. You know, it's really, really awful. And then you've got drug interactions and you've got wrong stuff and so forth. And you know what? I have a friend who has a close friend who studied to become a physician's assistant. And she was so excited. I mean, bless her heart, she wanted to help people and she wanted to do good, right? So she got through it, she did well. She did well on all her tests and she took her own licensing exam, okay? But she talked to my friend after she'd been active in the business for just a short while. And she goes, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. I'm so overwhelmed. There's so many different diseases, and there's so many different symptoms, and there's so many different symptoms that are could be this, that, or the other. And she says, and it's up to me to figure out what's going on and to be able to treat it properly. She said, I've done all this study and research and so forth, but she says, I just feel so overwhelmed. She said, I don't know if I can do this or not. I don't know if I'm making the right decisions. I want to help people, but you could just sense the fear in her. And see, that's what doctors face. Of course, we tend to use the term they are practicing, right? I wonder who came up with that, because it really is kind of accurate. But you know what? God doesn't have to practice. He created us. He's got parts. How do we know? Well, because people have been healed. Pastor Matthew had a major heart challenge and a defective heart, and God replaced his heart. And we know several other people, the same thing. One man we know was on the waiting list for a heart transplant. That's how serious his was. And he got hold of healing God's way. And guess what? God gave him the new heart without having to cut him open. And he's been so excited, wrote a book about it, put it in, I think it's over probably 80 countries or 80 languages all over the world now, because God gave him a new part. And he can do that for all of us, any of us. All we have to do is trust him unquestioningly, unwaveringly. And, oh, by the way, you heard my story. Well, Pastor Joshua is excited because this is the year 2019. And that means that this is the year that he can count 45 years since he's had any medical assistance of any kind other than the Word of God. No medicines, no doctors, no hospitals. It's all God. It's there. God created us. He gave us his word. We're to live by his word. When we live his way, we get to do it with all his benefits. No drug interactions, no mistakes made, no guesswork. He knows. He knows. Ah, I tell you, God is so good. So you'll notice at the bottom of the page, it has a sample prayer. Now, I'm going to read this prayer, but I'm also going to mention that this is a beginner prayer, if you will. As you go through healing school, we will be learning more advanced prayers and techniques, and as we mature, the prayers will mature also. We start at a basic foundational point here. So I will read this, but understand, for those of you who are repeaters, okay, this is a prayer where the newbies are allowed to start. But for those of us who are repeaters to healing school, we should not be praying our prayer of faith like this. If we still are, we need to recognize that we need to make changes. We need to grow. Because if we're stuck at one level, whatever level it may be, if we're not constantly growing toward God and learning more about healing, then guess what? The devil can eat our lunch. And you'll find very often that we're really challenged if we're still doing things the old way. So just to keep everybody on the alert, let's continue to learn and to grow. So the sample prayer here for the introduction to the prayer of faith. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. So there we are, praying to the Father in heaven and using the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus for the challenge in my shoulder. I believe that Jesus died for my healing, Therefore, I am asking you, Father, that my shoulder be healed of all pain and stiffness. I thank you, Father, that my shoulder has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Okay? So, faith and faith action plans. To review your homework for this module. Number one is to do all exercises as instructed, and we have fill in the blanks. And a lot of times you may think, oh, well, you know, that's too easy. But you know what? I loved doing that because it brings the Word of God back so clearly. And it helps us in terms of really remembering what God has to say on the subject. Now, if you're like super mature and you're a minister of the gospel that's very familiar with it, you may decide that you don't want to do the homework, and that's fine. But if you want to graduate, then you need to contact Dean Dyer and talk to him about your life experience and so forth, if that's sufficient to substitute for doing the homework. For those of you who are repeaters, you don't have to do the homework, but we always recommend it to keep you fresh and sharp with the Word of God, to keep you remembering all these steps, because if we're not living all of it, it's easy to let something slide. And so by our going over these module by module, we're bringing it back fresh in our lives. Now, number two on the homework is create a faith action plan according to the directions. What are the directions? We've got the three conditions and the seven steps, right? Okay. Now, let me give you a word of advice. I would not ask for a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac right off the bat. We want to start small. We want to build our faith. We want to do something that's very doable for us at our level of faith. You know, I think everybody got the idea on that, right? So the prayer of faith, faith is foundational to everything we do with God. For it is impossible to please God without faith. But with faith, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.